Okay, good morning and welcome. This is a nice little class. My name is Susan Hofer. I'm from Sterling, Alberta. I'm not currently teaching, but I guess the last number of years have been there at home. This is a class on moodiness, helping Moody Mary. I'm not sure how much we'll be able to talk about on this, but we came up with things. For the end of class, for discussion, if we get there, who causes moodiness in your classroom, and do you have examples or ways that you helped it? And the handout is just the outline. I'll try to left room for you to take notes if you would like. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Or cheerfulness is healthy and grouchiness is, wrecks the day for everybody. So I decided to go to the dictionary first and just get some definitions for moodiness. So moody is given to gloomy, depressed, or sullen moods or ill-humored. And a mood is a state or quality of feeling at a particular time, a state of sullenness, gloom, or bad temper. Some synonyms might be cross, downcast, sulky, down in the dumps, sullen, gloomy, touchy, or grouchy. So that, I was like, well, we'll look at the dictionary and we'll see what they have to say. When I think of moodiness, maybe a personal definition would be, I don't know, someone that refuses to talk or cooperate or participate in something, just being moody. So, down in the dumps or ill-humored, sullen maybe is the one we'll kind of go with that. So why would there be moodiness in your classroom? What would cause students to be moody maybe? Maybe they're tired. We don't have that advantage of knowing, or maybe it's good we didn't know what all went on at home before they got there. But be aware of that. Stuff can happen that is in their minds and before they even get there and during the day. Maybe they're bored. Maybe they don't have enough to do, or they're hurrying through their work to get done, get it out of the way. And it seems like maybe if we have bored students, what I found in my own personal experience was overbusy teacher. You're busy. You're the one that's the busiest in the classroom, and the children don't have enough to do, the ones that don't have trouble with their schoolwork. And I guess the way to fix that maybe is to talk to your school board, ask for help. Maybe children are moody because they're not understanding what they're supposed to do, and they're too embarrassed to ask, and so they're just kind of freezing. Maybe they feel shamed. I remember an instance where I kind of sharply reprimanded one of my students, and then I just about couldn't handle it the rest of the day. He was just so quiet, I felt like I had just really blown it with him. So we had a talk later and and got over it, I hope. But I really felt like I had hurt him by what I had done, and he was feeling misunderstood or shamed. Maybe children are frustrated or stressed out about things that are happening at home. I don't know if this is an exactly the quote, but I've read something to the effect that children who are loved at home come to school to learn. And those who don't feel love at home might be coming to school to be loved. And that suddenly puts things into perspective for me, not to get so easily exasperated. It might be the way they're feeling that I don't know about. And maybe they're uncertain of what you're expecting of them, like what actually are they supposed to do, how are they supposed to follow through with the day, what are the rules, what are the policies. Maybe they don't understand it. So why is moodiness negative? What are negative results of moodiness? Maybe it's touchiness or being snappy or disrespectful. That's not a good thing. And moodiness tends to spread throughout the classroom. That might be another reason that moodiness is negative. And if they're moody, it might also be that they're bored, they're easily get annoyed, they don't want to work. And then moodiness is also that focusing on myself, which is not good. And then that means I don't really care how I'm making others feel. All things that don't really help in a classroom. Okay, so we moved kind of quickly over that part because this next point I think is a big one. Identify whose moodiness is creating the bigger problem. Is it the children or is it the teacher? And when I was thinking about this talk, I was like, I think that's where we're going to end up. I think that's kind of the biggest thing. And yes, children will be moody, but I've probably had days where that moody child maybe kind of ruled my day instead of the other way around. So as the teacher, am I being swayed by one student's mood and then I'm reacting and taking it out on the whole class? I don't know if this is a common situation, but if you think about your class of children, is there one child that comes to mind that kind of, I don't know, you have more discipline issues with, or one that just, yeah, it's just big on your screen when you think of your classroom? And does that child kind of control then what your mood is? Do I love my students? John 15:11-12 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So, by following commandments, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another and that your joy may be full." So that seems like the remedy or the antidote for moodiness. And I'm talking about maybe us as adults now. As an adult, like, do I care enough to be the adult and get the children back on track? Was I out late the night before? And I know that Monday morning tired feeling, and it's just like if everybody would sit down and be quiet and do what they're supposed to do, then we could have a quiet morning and I'll come alive later in the day. But that's not realistic. Is there something that happened outside of school that I'm dragging along that I haven't, that's heavy on my mind or something, and that's affecting how I'm acting at school? And I think this is a big one. Do I have unclear expectations in my classroom? So some days maybe a certain behavior is dealt with or sternly reprimanded, and other days I don't have the energy to, or I'm in a better mood, so it doesn't matter. But some days I'm tired or grouchy, and that just pushed me over the edge. And then there's some children that will get, like that one that you think of when you think of your class, if he does something, like you're kind of hovering, waiting for him to do something. And then the other one that always is good and messes up, well, it's fine. They get a free pass that day for some reason. I need to be fair. So if I have unclear expectations, then my students aren't performing the way I want to, and then that aggravates me, but it's my fault. I don't know if you know the author Jordan Peterson, his 12 Rules for Life, and I don't know if I'm quoting this one correctly, but the one chapter, don't let your children do things that makes you dislike them. Don't let your children do things that make you dislike them. Now that might sound selfish at first, but if you're letting them get by with it and you're turning around and being frustrated at them, that's your fault. that's my fault as a teacher. If I'm letting them, or I'm not telling them what to do, and then the way they're acting is frustrating me. And maybe in situations that, yeah, things aren't clear, am I just scolding, getting after children, and not looking into the situation and giving them time to talk and find out what's actually going on? I have discovered so many times in teaching when I'm like ready to pounce on something, if I just wait a little bit and observe what's actually happening, it's not like they were trying to be bad. Like, just give it a second. Like, see what's happening before you. Well, I know what you did, and that's not what you're supposed to be doing. There might be a reason. It might look different than it actually is. So I have some personal experiences. When I was assigned this topic, there was one situation in school that immediately came to mind, but there were some others too. I remember, I think it was in my fourth year of teaching, one of my friends, she had taught before. I think we had gone to school together, and she had been teaching before I got out of school. She was teaching, well, maybe she was one of the teachers in my classroom. And then I started teaching, and she was visiting after school the one day, and I was talking about how, my class was just bad today. And I don't even remember what she said, but I remember it to this day. I look back at that. She helped me see that, well, you are the one that sets the tone for the day. If the children were bad, you know, it was it's up to you. Kind of like, well, fine then. But that's so true. Like, I've thought of that many times, that it is up to me. Help me just let go of the children. I do that over and over, have to let go of the idea that it's their fault that I'm having a bad day. And I also remember, this is a number of years ago, because WFTI was at the other location. I don't even remember who the speaker was, but I went to this workshop on discipline. And one of the first things the speaker said was, he doesn't have a list, like a list of consequences to give us, you know, that if this happens, this is what you do. And I remember being disappointed, like this idea that if I would just know what to do and whatever, like that it's, the discipline isn't just about a list of if this has happened, then this is what I do. That it's up to me, like the climate of the classroom and the attitudes that are a result of that. And then the big thing that I kind of, this is more in my more recent years of teaching, I had a student, and I knew from a previous teacher that she could kind of just shut down, kind of not respond, kind of be kind of stubborn. And I remember, maybe one of the first times we did a history test, we were doing Living Threads history, where, I don't know if you're familiar with that, where it's like stories that you read to the children, and chants, and geography songs, and facts, and stuff. So they're not, like you're reading a lot to them, and then when you get to the test, they're, at the end of the test, they're supposed to write maybe one paragraph or two about someone we've studied, or maybe they have to do two of those sections. They're writing about someone we've learned about. And I realized that her paper was just blank, and she was just sitting there. She was just not doing it. And I was like trying to ask her, what's the matter? Like, how can I help you get started? And she just froze on me. I don't know if that qualifies as moodiness, but so of course I was like talking, trying to get her to do something, like trying to work through the situation, trying to coax her, trying to find out what's going on. I just like couldn't handle the uncomfortable silence of her just sitting there. And I forget how many times it happened, and just let her sit. She'd sit through recess time, just like froze, and wouldn't do what she needed to do. And finally I realized, I think she was just scared. I think she didn't know what to do, I think, or else couldn't remember. Didn't know what to write, and just blanked out on me. So eventually, when I caught on to that, we finally had practice sessions before history tests. We'd go over facts, we'd talk about people we had read about, and I would let them practice writing, I'd let them write down stuff, take it home and study, like have their paragraph memorized that they want to write on the test the next day, because they could pick who from the unit they wanted to write about. And I think that made a difference. It's like, I still had to coax her through a few of the next tests, but just, you can do this. I think she was just petrified, or didn't know what to do, and didn't know how to tell me that she didn't know what to do. And I also talked with her parents, and her mother said, well, she'll get her dad to talk to her, because her mother said she and I are so, that she's so much like her daughter that it works better if her dad talks with her. But anyway, I would definitely say get your people on board, talk to who you, if situations happen like that, you have help. The parents want to help you. Another situation with that same student, I can't quite remember. I know there was a year that her grandma died and they were gone for that funeral. And I think it happened while she was gone that one of the school moms came in, and we were going to do, maybe a couple weeks in a row of, she was going to jump rope with the children for phys ed. And I think we maybe did our first session while she was gone. And I totally didn't think about it. The next week when we did it, she was back, and we were downstairs in the basement jumping rope, and it was her turn, and she just stood by the jump rope. They were twirling it, and she just wasn't moving, and I saw tears starting to squeeze out of her eyes, and so I just took her upstairs. And I realized, I think it was another situation where she was just scared. She didn't know what to do. And I realized that I hadn't explained it. I don't even know if she knew what we were going downstairs to do because she hadn't been there the time before. So I apologized to her for that. And I think maybe we did some more practicing or we worked through that. And she was able to participate the next time. So be aware, like get the feel of what's going on, like why children might be doing what they're doing. I know I can kind of barrel through a class and the stuff we need to do and the clock is racing but sometimes you just need to stop. You need to realize that we're not all on the same page or there's a need there. Somebody's not understanding. So then how to eliminate moodiness. These are more suggestions. These are not do this and this will no longer be a problem. Are any of you here first-year teachers? Okay, so you know that not the same thing works for every child every time. Like, give you some ideas here. So I think maybe we came to the conclusion that maybe the teacher's moodiness could be a bigger problem in the classroom than a child's, because it's the teacher's job to help the child move on after that. One more thing on the personal experiences that I should share with you. My dad was on the school board lots when I was young, and then when I was teaching, he got put back on one year, and I remember he told me after one board meeting, the teachers would always be on the first part of the board meeting, and then they'd dismiss them and talk, and he told me that they were talking about it. After I left, one of the school board members had a child in my class, and I guess it was coming home that Miss Susan's nickname was Miss Grouchy or something, Miss Grumpy or something. It's like, oh, I know why. Like, it was good to hear that. It was a good wake-up call because, yeah, I'm afraid it was true. Miss Susan was grouchy when maybe when children weren't doing what I wanted because I wasn't clear in what they were supposed to do. Okay, so for eliminating moodiness, remember that your job, it's kind of big and important. You need to be rested. You need to be prepared. You need to be on point. You need to be present, be aware of what's going on. And I know we have a life outside of school. School can't be part of all of your life, but yeah. Your job is to be the one that can lead out, start the day and on a good note and follow through with it. Help the moodiness disappear. Have clear expectations and rules for your class. And this brings me to classroom management, which is, I don't know, kind of passionate about, something I've discovered in the last few years of teaching. I'm not sure why it took me so long to realize this, and maybe it's like that saying, don't let your children do things that make you dislike them. To realize that if I tell my children what I expect of them and show them how to do it, like at the beginning of school, there'll be different routines and stuff that we'll practice. Like, we'll practice it maybe several mornings that first week of school. Like, and it's kind of fun. They get excited and like how to come in the morning, how to say good morning, where to put their stuff, what all things they need to have done before school starts. Like, show them exactly what I want them to do and show them what happens or what our rules are and what breaks them and what follows them and what happens if they break a rule. Like, remove that tension and uncertainty of what I'm supposed to be doing in the classroom. So therefore, your rules kind of need to be concise. I think I had 4 classroom rules these last few years when I realized that better way of handling my classroom. Well, I think our 4 rules were listen and follow all directions. Raise your hand before speaking or leaving your seat. And keep your hands, feet, and objects to yourself. And respect your teacher and classmates. But you need to make rules for your classroom, the things that fit your classroom, like any misbehavior would have come under one of those four rules, and they were simple. We talked about them, what followed them and what broke them, and they understood what was expected of them. Always be the person that follows through with what you said you would do, because if you always do what you said you would do, even if it's uncomfortable, or even if it was your most dependable student that messed up, students will respect you. They'll trust you. And you can do pretty much anything with them if they know you're a person that will do what you said you would do. And then be consistently kind and pleasant all the time to all the children, just like in general, not necessarily picking out certain ones. I remember I don't remember exactly when it was, but that day I realized I think I'm treating children according to how they're behaving. And that was kind of horrifying. Like, I actually stooped to that. If you were good today and made me like you, then I was nice to you. But if you were misbehaving, then I'd make you feel like I don't approve of you today. And that's not at all. If children are being unlovely, that's when they need to be loved. And then it was a journey to figure out how to be clear, how to be consistent, how to follow through every time with what I expected of them. And then our classroom just kind of relaxed. We could have spontaneous fun. I remember it seemed like we had a good laugh in that one grade science class every day almost. We just had a good time. Change your mindset if you need to, that the hard work and the diligence that school needs, that's part of the joy of learning. That's not a necessary evil that you need to get done quickly or that they need to be bribed to do. That's part of what we're teaching them. Teach them not to be afraid of the hard work or say, yeah, this is hard, but you can do it. I'm here to help you, but you can. And then take time for some spontaneous fun. If you have clear classroom rules and guidelines, expectations, then you can have fun and you can easily bring them back and go on with the day. Like, it doesn't get out of control. Remember the one time, I think I was having a grouchy day, the way I recall, so I can't remember if it was Skittles or jelly beans. It was after lunchtime sometimes. Like, okay, everybody gets some jelly beans and we'll just take a little break here. I think it was one of the school moms was telling me later that, yeah, her daughter said, I forget, was Miss Susan being was having a grouchy day or something. So we all had jelly beans. I was like, oh dear. And then this is a different time. The one student, I was like, okay, well, let's get on now with our day. I think maybe we had a small candy break, and I don't give them candy all the time. I don't. And sometimes it's just little tiny jelly bellies, one or two. Then the one student raised her hand, or she said, we could have more jelly beans. So remember that if there's strong, secure classroom management in place, you know what you want, and you've showed them, and you're following through that. I don't know, it just helped me relax immensely, helped me not be so uncertain, like, what will my day look like by the end of the day? I think it will help your own moodiness and the children's. I have a couple resources. I didn't actually bring my books with me. And I don't know if you've heard about the author, Michael Linson, Smart Classroom Management. He also has a book called Happy Teacher Habits. It's just a little purple book. It's not a real long read, except I find that I have to kind of read a chapter at a time. And I've read it maybe more than once, and there's maybe some parts of it that are definitely more helpful than others. But he talks about narrowing in your life, not trying to take on so many things, not saying yes to so much, and decluttering. That was kind of a new thought for my classroom, like being okay with really simple stuff on the walls, because, yeah, there's other more important work to do. And even a busy, visually busy classroom, I think, can actually be hard for some children. I do remember one student I had, he kind of struggled to read and stuff, a little bit more of a bundle of nerves. And his mom telling me, I think it was his mom, that he likes that Miss Susan's classroom isn't so busy or doesn't have so much stuff on the walls. Something about that made me feel better, because I probably thought I should have had more up. But I was like, well, that's good. After that, I was like, it doesn't have to be so full that there's no blank spaces to focus on and rest every now and then. So I'm not sure if the decluttering and narrowing is in the same chapter, but anyway, there's like maybe 10 or 12 habits to make happy teachers. Anyway, that's a recommend. Those books are on Amazon, so maybe if you don't have access to get them that way, find a friend that does. He has other books too. The Smart Classroom Management Way, you can download his Smart Classroom Management Plan and print it off. It's just like it's not a book, it's just pages that easily can staple together. Okay, so I think it's time for us to have some candy. Anyway, pass these around, and I have a poem to read. My students and I discovered that those are really good gummy worms. And have two if you want. And another thing that always dissipated tension and frustration in the classroom was a good story. And I love to read to children. Maybe it was, I don't know if they realized what was going on, but okay, Miss Susan's going to read to you so that you calm down. This is The Camel's Hump by Rudyard Kipling. It's in the 4th grade CLE Language Arts. I think the 10th Light Unit Lesson 2. Anyway, it's a good one. The Camel's Hump by Rudyard Kipling. The camel's hump is an ugly lump which well you may see at the zoo. But uglier yet is the hump we get from having too little to do. Children and grown-ups, too, if we haven't enough to do, we get the hump, camellia's hump, the hump that is black and blue. We climb out of bed with a frowsily head and a snarly, yarly voice. We shiver and scowl and we grunt and we growl at our bath and our boots and our toys. And there ought to be a corner for me, and I know there's one for you, when we get the hump, camellia's hump, the hump that is black and blue. The cure for this ill is not to sit still or froust with a book by the fire, but to take a large hoe and a shovel also and dig till you gently perspire. And then you will find that the sun and the wind and the scent of the garden too have lifted the hump, the horrible hump, the hump that is black and blue. I get it as well as you if I haven't enough to do. We all get the hump, the camellia's hump, children and grown-ups too. Okay, so do you have comments on what causes moodiness in your classroom or examples you'd like to share now that your mouths are full of gummy worms? Or what you did to help it?
Strongly, either one way or the other, either happy and cheerful or just as moody and grouchy as can be. And I would dread it, because if she was in a bad mood, it just bled over into all the other young ladies as well, with all her friends. And it would just really affect the kind of the tenor of the entire classroom today. And so that's one way it spreads. You have one who's really moody. Class, the mind experience.
Yeah, and you probably see it on the other side, like being a guy teacher and these girls that just can't figure it out and be cheerful. Yeah, I think it's definitely probably more of a girl problem, the moodiness.
I've had a couple of girls that had some moody ones. Like you said, one come in just like very happy sometimes, and the next time just very down. And it would kind of like affect me right away, like, oh dear, she's down again. And I think from what I know, it was basically insecurity. Their family was kind of visiting other churches on Sunday, and I can visually tell if it was that morning, she would be tired. And
no.
I didn't even know how to help that. And the other girl I had was basically overwhelmed, and someone gave me advice sometimes to hear her out and pray with her. And I did that one time. I was like, what's wrong? What are you struggling with? And she just came down and she's overwhelmed. She feels she cannot stay on top of it. And so I prayed with her, and honestly, it felt like she got somewhere. Because after that, like often she would cry or something in class, or she couldn't get what was right. And after that, she was significantly.
How old was she?
She was in seventh grade.
Okay, so legitimately feeling overwhelmed and not knowing what to do with it. Yeah, and probably not even like you changed that much, but you listened and you... That reminds me, I think those were my third graders. I had two of them that year. And the one day they both ended up in tears at different times. It was just so out of character. I think the one little girl, there was a math fact on her test, and she was like one of those straight A never needs help children, and she was sure we hadn't learned that math fact, and she didn't know how to answer it, and she just panicked and ended up in tears. And the other student was kind of, I mean, he was very studious, but he always had homework, and it just overwhelmed him that day, and he ended the day, he was in tears. Why do I always have homework? But sometimes they just need, I don't know, for you to understand or to see, let them know that you see what's going on, you understand, you want to help. Okay, well, thank you.